Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to ask you to keep your Bible handy this morning because we're going to have about five different passages we're going to be reading during the course of the lesson today. We'll be dealing with different parts of the lesson. These will be kind of lengthy readings we'll have. Instead of having one or two scriptures and have them spread out all over the whole lesson, we're going to have them bunched together, if you want to say that, and have about five different readings that we'll notice this morning. And the first one will be found in Romans chapter 14. If you want to open your Bible to Romans chapter 14, we'll begin reading with verse 7 in just a moment and read this one first. We're glad that each one of you here, those that are in our audience today, we're glad that you're here. We have a good number present. And those who are joined in by electronic devices, we're glad that you're with us today and worshiping with us. And I see people from different states and different places that are joining in to our services, and we're thankful that you are, and hope that as we worship together that we can please God and do the things that he would have us to do. I'm going to read this passage, and you read with me, and see if you can determine from what we're reading what the title of the lesson is going to be today. Romans chapter 14, beginning with verse 7. It says, "For no one of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Whether therefore we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lives again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." Now, I wonder if you can determine what the title of the lesson is going to be. I doubt that any of you do, unless you remember what I told you some time back, what our lesson was going to be about. One thing we see, it's about our giving account to ourselves unto God. And there's an old phrase that I have heard a long time. Deborah, when I told her what I was going to preach on, she said, "Where did you get that title from?" I said, "Well, I've heard that all my life. Have you never heard that before?" And she said, "No, I haven't." So today we're going to talk about it's time to pay the fiddler. How many of you have ever heard that statement before? Several of you, okay? And we understand that time to pay the fiddler means that there's a time of reckoning, a time that we must give an account for what we've done or failed to do or whatever. And so this is what we're going to be talking about today. So let's get into that, and we'll get into some other things, as this is mostly the introduction that we're talking about right now. This statement is made saying now we must pay for what we have received. We'll say we go to a nice restaurant and we have a gourmet dinner and everything is just fine, everything is just great. And so we have finished and we're sitting there now. We have eaten, we've had the fine meal, but now it's time to pay. And so it's time to pay the fiddler. That's what we're talking about. Or we might use it this way. We must answer for what we have failed to do. Sometime we fail to do what God tells us to, and one day we'll be answering for that, and we'll be reading a scripture here in just a moment that'll show that to be the case. Or another way we might look at it is like this. We must answer for what we did that we should not have done. So this is about three different ways that we can use this title of time to pay the fiddler. Like we said, we've eaten a meal and now it's time to pay for it. We have shown a lack of interest in spiritual things, and now we must face the one who has labored for us and with us and give an account for the way that we have acted. Like the one talent man who did not try when his master returned at the time that he returned from a far journey, it was time to pay the fiddler. It was time to reckon with them as to what they had done or whether they had acted in the way that they should. Now let's turn back to Matthew. In chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, we're going to begin with verse 14, and we're going to read down through verse 30. So like I said, they're lengthy readings. They're not readings that you haven't heard before. You're familiar with these scriptures, but it deals with the lesson that we're talking about today. Chapter 25, beginning with verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. When he who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and made other 5 talents, and likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went out and dug in the ground and hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. This is where we're talking about time to pay the fiddler. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. He who had received the 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I had not sown and gathered where I had not scattered seed. So you ought to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he may have abundance. But from him who has not or does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now here we see in this incident we're talking about the other idea of paying the fiddler. Now the ones who had received the 5 talents, we notice one thing about this reading. It says that he delivered to them according to their own ability. So he gave one 5 talents. He felt like he was more capable maybe of using the 5 talents than he was, because he went and traded with those and he made 5 other talents. And of course, that was a risk that was involved, but he was willing to take that risk to do the thing that he ought to do. And the one that received the 2 talents, he did the same thing. He went out and traded with them, and he gained 2 other talents. And you notice that the Lord did not say to the one that gained 2 talents, now, you should have gained 5 talents. But he said, well done, good and faithful servant, just like he did to the one that gained the five talents. And so that means that the Lord is not going to judge me according to what you have the ability to do. He's not going to judge you by what I have the ability to do, but he's going to judge every one of us by how we use what he's given us to use, and to use that ability in the way that we ought to. Now, the 1 talent man, he thought he'd done a great deed. He went out and dug in the ground, and he hid the money there. And when the man came back, he gave it to him just like he'd given it to him. But that wasn't what he wanted. He said he was a wicked and a lazy servant. He hadn't used the talent that he had given him. And it shows us that whatever ability that God gives us, whatever talent that he gives us, he expects us to use that talent. Now, just because I cannot do what the 5 talent man could do, it doesn't excuse me for not doing what I might do as a 1 talent man. So God expects me to do with what I have, what I can do, the very best that I can do. Now it's time for us to pay the fiddler. It's time for us to be honest with ourselves and look at ourselves in the light of where we are right now. In 2021, this is where we want to start this morning. Let's examine ourselves in 3 different ways or by 3 different questions as we get into our lesson this morning. Now, 2020 was a year that was filled with a lot of disappointments. There was a lot of losses. Everybody's life was turned upside down. And I dare to say that there's not a one here that was not affected some way with the loss of a loved one or a family member or something due to the COVID pandemic and the other things that was involved in there. And I'm convinced that we still don't know the effect of the pandemic yet. There are other things that's going to appear, I'm afraid, that we haven't heard of yet, where it affects us or affects, it may even affect animals. You can't tell. But anyway, 2020 has passed, and this is 2021. Now, where are we today? Where am I? And let's turn to the book of James. And in the book of James, let's read chapter 1, not the whole chapter. We'll get down to the verses I want here in a minute. James chapter 1, let's begin with verse 21. We'll read down through about verse 27. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, his own religion is useless or vain, the King James Version would say. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their troubles, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, from this reading, then, we see that we must give an account of ourselves. Now, where am I? That's what the first question is we want to consider this morning. Where am I? This is 2021. We're not still in 2020 yet. We can go back. We can live in the past if we want to. We can fear the future so that we, like the one talent man, don't do what God wants us to do. But our question is today, where are we? Where am I? And you'll have to answer these questions for yourself, because nobody else can answer them but you. And you must be honest with yourself and with God as you answer these questions that we're talking about today. Where am I? Am I more spiritual today than I was a year ago? Think seriously now, and like I said, only you can answer that. Are you more spiritual today than you were a year ago? Do you think more on spiritual things? Are you more interested in doing what God has said for you to do in His Word? Or are you less interested in those things? Only you can answer the question, and let's be honest with God and with ourselves as we answer these questions. Number two, am I more faithful to the Lord today than I was a year ago? What about it? Are we more faithful to God? Are we more interested, more anxious to serve Him? Are we more anxious to study the Bible, more anxious to read God's Word and to study it and to pray to God? So am I more faithful to the Lord today than I was a year ago, or am I less faithful? Am I looking for ways to get around doing what He has told me to do? The next question, am I attending the services of the church more now than I was a year ago? Am I looking forward to times in which we can come together and study God's Word, come together and worship together, read from God's Word, and pray together? Am I looking more for those things now than I was a year ago? The next one, am I reading my Bible more now than I was a year ago? You know, that's something that each one of us need to do. We need to read our Bible every day. And it's there for us. And, you know, it's such a book that you can read it over and over and over again and go back and read it another time, and you'll find things that you didn't find the time before when you were reading. I was talking to Carla the other day, and I was telling her that I was reading a passage. No telling how many times I have read that passage over and over again, but I saw something there I hadn't seen before. And that's the way it is. I think it's our frame of mind when we study that we see things that we didn't see before. Something that is fresh on our minds that brings out something in a passage that we were not thinking about when we read that passage before. And we think, well, how in the world did I overlook that? How in the world did I miss that? And a lot of sermons that I have, that's the way I've gotten. I'm going back and read passages that I've read over and over again, and from that passage then finding something there that I had missed in my reading them before. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, King James Version says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. So we need to study our Bible. You know, if we read the Bible, the more we read it, the more we want to read it, the more we get out of it, and we need to want to do that every day and take time to read the Bible. I'm not going to tell you when's the best time for you, but you can decide what's the best time. It might be early in the morning when everything's quiet, when you're fresh and everything. It might be at night before you go to bed. It might be both times. It might be in the middle of the day. I love to take my Bible and get me a folding chair and get out under the shade tree and sit out there and read the Bible. And normally when I start reading, if I'm going to read Matthew, I start at the first of it and read through the whole book before I quit. So you might not have that much time to spend each time, but whenever you read to where you can understand and do God's will. The next question, am I showing more love for God today than I was a year ago? Do I love God more? I ought to, because he loved me enough that he gave his only son on the cross that I might have everlasting life. Now, how much do I love him? Do I love him enough to sacrifice for him? You know, we're to be a living sacrifice for him. We're not to offer animal sacrifices, but we're to be a living sacrifice to God. The next question, is my interest in spiritual things greater today than it was a year ago? That's similar to one we talked about a little bit ago. Spiritual things, the things that God has spoken of, you know, there's some things that are worldly, some things that are fleshly, but then there's the spiritual things, and we're to look on those. We're to try to lay up treasure in heaven instead of worrying about laying up treasure here on earth. Am I more interested in and devoted to the church than I was a year ago? You know, a lot of people say, well, the church is not important, but it was important enough to Christ that he died for. And when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, he told them to consider the flock in which they were overseers to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. So Jesus died because he loved the church. Now, how much do I love the church? Do I love it enough to sacrifice for it? Another, am I showing my love for the brethren more now than I was a year ago? Do I love my brothers and sisters more now than I did a year ago? You know, it comes to the point sometime to where our church family is closer to us than our blood family, and care more for us than our blood family does. You know, that's one thing Paul said, that we're to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. The last one in this section, am I doing more to reach the lost now than I was a year ago? And so this is a question that we'll ask of where we are. It's time for us to pay the fiddler. Am I doing all these things? Now, turn with me back to the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, we're going to read a passage that all of us know that is very familiar to every one of us. In the ninth chapter, and when I say the ninth chapter, you immediately know that we're going to be talking about Saul. So chapter 9, we're going to begin with verse 1 and read the first 9 verses there. And then we'll skip down to verse 17 and read 3 or 4 more verses there. Then Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him letters from him to the synagogue at Damascus, so that he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round about him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now in verse 17, of course, and during between verse 9 and 17, God spoke to Ananias and told him to go and talked to Saul, and he said, "Lord, I've heard how much damage he's done to the church and how that he has authority now to bind people and take them back to prison." But God told him, "He's a chosen vessel of mine, and I must show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." Verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food and was strengthened, then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus." Verse 20 says, "Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God." And here's what Saul did. Now, the second question then, the first one was, where am I? The second one is, am I planning to do better? Now, Saul found out where he was. He found out he was persecuting the Savior. He was persecuting the Lord. And then he determined within his own heart that he was going to do better. "What will you have me to do, Lord?" And he went into the city. He was told what to do. He did not reject it. He arose immediately. He was baptized. Immediately he started preaching the gospel that he'd been trying to destroy. So our question to us today is, now since we've answered the questions about where we are, what do we plan to do about it? Do we plan to do better, or do we plan to just go along like we are, or to just drift along and do nothing? So here's another set of questions that we have. They're going to be similar to the ones we had before. Have my plans changed for this year? Do I plan to do different this year to what I did last year? Am I planning to read my Bible daily? 2 Timothy 2:15 said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God." Am I planning to apply its teaching to myself, to desire the sincere milk of the word that I may grow by it? That's something that we need to do, is desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow. Do I plan to be more thoughtful of others this year than I was last year? Am I planning to show more love to my companion than I did last year? Am I planning to show more enthusiasm in the work of the Lord than I did a year ago? Am I planning to encourage the weak and the young Christians along the way each day of my life? Am I planning to do more visiting among the brethren? So here, what am I planning to do? What is my plans? Do I plan to do better, or do I plan just to drift along and let everything go as it did before and hope that the Lord's going to be pleased with what I do when we know that we're not doing our best? And it's like the one talent man who went and dug in the earth and hid his talent there instead of using what he had that the Lord had given unto him. Now, let's go back to the book of Luke. In the book of Luke in chapter 15, beginning in the 11th verse. And we'll read down through about verse 21. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living. And when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went to and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise, and I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of the hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Now, he had a decision to make. Now, the third question then is, will I carry out my plans? Where am I? And am I planning to do better? And will I carry out my plans? Will I see that those plans that I have materialize? If I care for my soul and eternal life, then I will carry out my plans. I'll make sure that those things are put into action to where I can be the kind of person that God wants me to be. I will read my Bible every day and apply its teaching to myself. You know, it's easy for us to read the Bible and apply it to somebody else and say how it fits somebody else, but it's hard for us to look at our own self and see how that we need to be listening to those things too. We much like it talked about a while ago, the man that sees himself in the mirror and then goes his way and forgets what kind of person he was. You know, when we look into the Bible, that's the mirror for the soul. And we're looking into that mirror. Now, what do we do when we look in that mirror and see where we stand? Do we go away and forget what kind of person we were? Or do we do something about what we saw? When we wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror and see what a mess we are. Our hair looks like a rabbit has nested in it overnight. And our face looks like it hadn't been washed in a while. And the frown on our face needs to be wiped away and exchanged with a smile. But we go away and we forget that. And we forget what kind of person we were and go about our lives without making any changes. Still the same old thing we were. And so will we carry out our plans as we should? I will read my Bible every day and apply the teaching to myself. The next one. I will carry out my plans if I really care about my eternal life and about my soul. I will desire the sincere milk of the word. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. I will be doing my best to teach the lost. Trying to find those that are lost, those that are interested in the word. And there's a lot of people out there that you're going to try to teach that are not interested and not going to listen to you. They're going to turn a deaf ear to what you have to say. But out there are people who are interested in the truth, who want to know the truth, who are yearning to learn the truth. And we need to pray to God that he'll open doors for us and help us to find those who are interested in the truth, that we might be able to sit down with them and talk with them and teach them what is right and what is wrong. I will be doing my best to teach the lost. I will strive to be the best example that I can be to my children and to others as well. You know, not just children, but our neighbors and our friends. We need to try to be the best that we can be before them. Best example that we can be. God wants us to be an example for others to follow. I will show more love for the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all things that are spiritual. And this is something that we need to do every day. I will try to be a better husband or wife than I was a year ago. I will try to be a better father or mother to my children than I was a year ago. I will attend every worship service and Bible study that the church offers me, that I may encourage others to do the same thing, and that I may grow as a result of it, that I may be more able to teach others and to live the life that God wants me to live. I will do more praying to the Lord and less worrying and complaining. You know, most of us do more worrying and complaining than we do praying to the Lord. We need to pray to the Lord instead of doing the worrying and complaining. May God help each one of us to take more seriously the way we live and show our appreciation for what the Lord has done for us. He's done so much for us, we can never repay him for what he's done for us, but we can do our best to try by living the kind of life that he wants us to live. And we can put forth more effort to get to the place that the Lord has prepared for us. You remember that Jesus said in John 14 that he was going to prepare a place for us, and then he would come again that we might go back with him to that place that he had prepared. So he is coming one day. I don't know what day. You don't know what day. Nobody else does. Jesus didn't even know what day, only the Father. But we do know one thing. He is coming. And to me, it's much like a game that we used to play when I was a child growing up, and maybe children, I think, still play that today. The game was called hide and seek. And there would be one who would hide his eyes and would count to a certain number while the others ran and hid. And whenever he got to the certain number that he was counting, he would usually shout, "Ready or not, here I come." And so that's about the way it will be with the Lord. One of these days, the Lord is coming back. I don't know when he's coming back. But there's one thing for sure, that whenever the Lord is time for him to come back, that he's coming whether we're ready or not. He'll be coming back. And it'll be time for us to pay the fiddler. We'll stand before him and we'll give an account for how we've lived this life. How will you stand before the Lord? Whenever, you know, in Matthew chapter 25, if we'd read on a few verses further, it would have talked about Jesus sitting on his throne and all nations being gathered before him, separation being made, some on the right hand, some on the left. How will you stand before him? Will you stand like the five-talent man and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord"? Or will you stand like the one-talent man and hear him say, "Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels"? I pray for your sake and for mine that we can stand like the five-talent man and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter the joys of the Lord." That's my prayer for you and for everyone, that we can live in such a way that God can be pleased with us. And I pray that we can help one another to live in such a way that we can go to heaven when this life is over. If we miss heaven, we've missed it all. Today, if you're here and have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, we're here to help you to do that very thing. The baptisters feel, if you need to be baptized, we're ready to help you to do that. If you've already been baptized but have not lived in a way that pleases you and you know it doesn't please God and you need to make corrections, then we're here to help you do that today too. So if you need to obey the gospel in any way, won't you come while we stand and sing together?